not naming departments or programs now, I don't think that's particularly helpful, but the chairs have their reports. With respect to students served, we have 13 of 42 departments, Frank's thriving, 16 of 42 departments and programs is stable, 13 of 42 of concern, 7 of high concern. Again, because there's not any students enrolling or very few students enrolling in this program. Cost per student credit hour, 8 of 30 are ranked as low cost, 14 of 30 are ranked as middle, 8 of 30 are ranked as high cost. Again, this is not a good or a bad thing, it's just a data point. Instructional revenue minus instructional cost, that contribution margin, 5 of 3 low, 19 of 5 of 30 low, 19 of 30 middle, and 6 of 30 high. And then finally, with respect to number of majors and 3 to 5 year trend, 15 out of 104 programs are ranked as thriving, 54 stable, 23 small and stable, 27 of concern, and 17 small and of concern. And then finally, post graduation outcomes. This and some of the other measures weren't available for all programs or applicable for all programs. That's why you see a change in the denominator. We have 23 of 41 departments of programs ranked as thriving, 15 of 41 stable, and 3 of 41 as of concern. The analysis and the categorization is broken down at length in these reports and will be in the final report. So all of the chairs have the background on how this was calculated, understand that we are sharing this information with the chairs at this point, and it will be in the report. And then last but not least, it's important to note that we have been communicating and consulting and will continue to do so as this initiative unfolds. I have a website that, as others are speaking, I'll bring up, and I urge you to go on. There's I very regularly update this website, and there's a reading list that you can get the articles that I referenced at the first and look at our
proactive. I'll speak as dean, working with the dean. decision, I believe he created a decision, to begin to discuss what a merger would look like. The committee itself is not in the meeting at this point. Everything will come through the president. The president having a conversation with the provost and the department. But we will have some of those conversations because I think it's healthy that we attempt to make it seem like we are doing something to address some of the small programs that are facing shortage of faculty and decreased student enrollment. So that's something that's happening at the discretion of departments as well.
And that's not part of this initiative.
And it's not through, it's coincidental. Conversations happened 2 years ago. This committee was formed last year. So, that's all. And with that, I'm not sitting on anything to say. I know people are probably like, it's really over by now. And if anyone has questions, please, we're welcome to take those questions.
Hi, good afternoon. One thing is, can you share the data about the departments that are thriving, stable, or of concern? I think it would be useful for all of us to have a full picture of what's happening. I know you want to point fingers in the context of the Senate meeting, but maybe if we can get a file or see that, that would be useful. Then the other thing is, so I know that for years before now, I've heard that we should aim to have 20,000 students. But, you know, that's that, in the community system, very few campuses have that amount of enrollment, only probably Baruch and Hunter, I think. Even places like City College and Union are more like 13,000 to 14,000. So 15,000 to 16,000 is not as catastrophic as many of us have discussed before. And I wonder whether we can look at what those colleges are doing and think comparatively.
So I'll answer for the first question with regards to providing information for those departments that are thriving. In the report, we do intend to share data. We do intend to share remedies of what these departments have been doing so that we can mimic them throughout the college. So that is something that would be in the report. That's definitely going to happen. I think we said we are beginning to plan, and we have started to plan for what we feel is a reasonable. So we've been moving through as 20,000, but I think we 15-17 is the standard that we're trying to target for campus size with the number of faculty, and 99% of our income is going to faculty salaries.
I just wanted to add, one of the reasons we did not share the department status early, during some of our meetings, one of our smaller group of meetings, we used one department as an example and to highlight it, and that person from the department was in the meeting and said that that's not accurate, this isn't that, this is this way. So rather than share data before each department had a chance to
can learn a lot from what's going on in our system, and we can learn a lot from what's going on in healthy programs. Again, we have a number of programs that are thriving. Early childhood and elementary education increased by 48%. Pretty bulky numbers, so yay! I know. You guys are going gangbusters because you revised your curriculum to meet state educator certification needs. That kind of curricular revision is really helping BECE, the GRADS, the graduate school of sciences, also experiencing a great boom in enrollment because they launched online master's degrees, they rebranded themselves, they revitalized their curriculum. Some of the departments are really focused on career and career outcomes and supporting students through to graduation and finding a job. That's really appealing to students. That's what families and communities want us to be paying attention to. So sharing those best practices is part of this.
One thing I think is really encouraging, so in terms of what we're learning, we're also seeing that from these conversations, it is sparking sometimes. Something, an idea that was from the past was brought back because it was a good opportunity to be like, we once thought about doing X, but the light of the world is saying, and data, this makes a lot of sense for us to return to our department and discuss about what's happening. So, what we also see is not just learning what people are doing, that's really amazing and producing change, and we want to figure out how can we, share this and replicate this, but also to hearing departments in an actual process of rethinking. And I think that we owe our students that actually, I personally as a faculty member or lecturer, the lecturer, I think that's what we owe our students. I think it's opportunities to sort of like do a deep rethinking and honest assessment of where we see student declines and recognizing that we have a limited sort of like resource available to us and we want to maximize that resource for our students. I agree, I feel stretched thin. I mean, not just like you said that, but I personally feel stretched thin as a person working here. ASC has constantly saying things about how I can change, and it's multiple. And I just want to encourage everyone to just kind of keep in mind that we're not trying to solve the problem. I think sometimes people think that we're tasked with like solving the problem. I think it's important to keep in mind that there are many different initiatives that are going on concurrently. A lot of dedicated people of the US are trying to figure out how to make Queen's College the best it can be for now and for the future, and we're just a small part. So we're hoping that we can contribute to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize that there's already a prevailing view of how
the sentiment, the question raised, which is, you know, you're just looking at a very circumscribed set of indicators. These quantitative indicators, there's often a tendency to sort of look under the lamp post, you know, because that's where the light is and that's where the more objective information is, but, you know, none of those indicators really reflected educational quality. I mean, just went through middle states assessment, which is all focused on educational quality, but, you know, you can get an amazing education in a small, very small apartment.
Yes.
And that is not going to be reflected anywhere in the statistics that you're collecting. And also the value of a department in terms of how it fits into the entire curriculum, the liberal arts, and philosophy is a small department. But can you imagine a college, a liberal arts college, how a philosophy department? Or about an English department, even if there may be not so many negatives there. So I think it's important to frame your findings in that context, and really what we, not lose sight of the fact that we care about delivering educational value, which isn't reducible to career outcomes, earnings after college, and maybe very highly educated artists who graduate from things who aren't earning a lot in the first 5 years. So that's the first thing. So thank you for making that. You shouldn't feel in any way diminished by the fact that you're taking classes from a small charter. The other thing I wanted to just quickly ask about or caution is that the windup for the presentation, the motivation for this investigation is, of course, the declining enrollments that we're facing. And the main explanation for that that Patricia, that you mentioned, was demographic. That's mostly due to demographics. But it's easy to raise questions about that, because the high school population of Queens is actually, the high school population of all of New York City has shrunk, but actually the high school population of Queens has shrunk less than any other borough in New York. So that it isn't automatically a compelling explanation for the uniquely unique traits that our enrollments are in. And I'm not sure that many of the statistics that you're looking at are going to point to solutions for that. But there may be things on Reddit or Fiverr surrounding Queens College, but things like that, the reach out to high schools, or salesmanship, or branding, et cetera, that it's just not working. That we're being beaten out by competition, not that there's not enough students in Queens that want to come here.
Thank you, Peter. I'm going to offer a few more data points because you raised a really good point. You know me, I always talk about data, but data is very much an objective view. And so what I thought we had conveyed, and I can think that's not the case, allow me to repeat it. These one-on-one consultations with the departments are a way of bringing in the qualitative so that we have more of an organic view of what is
closure program. It is to figure out a way, what can we do to help save you? What can we do to help you be a bit more successful? Because there are small programs that are doing fantastic. So, and we discovered that. So if we share out that information and we start to implement it across the campus, then this is leaving us room for growth throughout. And we're not here to recommend that so-and-so be closed or so-and-so be merged. That decision will be made, we will present our findings in a report. We're not saying this is what we suggest, and this is what we think, this is what we've learned, this is what we've discovered, and then the discussion will take its way. And we're looking years in the future to try to remedy this prior to any decision that is at the discretion of the president be made. So there are some departments that have reached out to us and said, hey, the data doesn't reflect this, that, and third, and we need to capture all of that stuff before we can complete our report. But the committee, the working group, is only through the end of May. That's our charge. Our faculty go on leave for the summer, so we want to try to do as much as we can to meet that deadline.
See you.